Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, hello, everybody. Julie Hayden here. Julie Hayden, Chuck Bonniewell with the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. The truth straight up. Chuck is making his way in. He's been, as Leo pointed out, in hair and makeup. I'm just coming down from hair and makeup. You look great, Chuck.
Thank you. Thank you.
The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese medicine. So all kinds of stuff to talk about today. Obviously, the Iowa caucuses. We've got weird news out of the FAA. Jerry Nadler supports slavery and replacement theory all in one soundbite. The whole thing was there. And then this horrible bill coming up in the legislature.
One of many.
Good point. If you want to call in today, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. And plenty of time if you want to make your comments over here. If for those of you on Zoom, we're happy to read those as well. So the big news today, though, and some rhinos do not like it, but the Colorado Republican Party Central Committee,
yes,
which is made up of roughly 400 people,
400 plus, yeah.
400, yeah. Last night had a meeting and voted to endorse Donald Trump as the candidate in Colorado. You were one of the voting members.
I was a voting
member. Take it away.
All right. So there were two ones. One group of people that said our bylaws didn't allow us to break re-election neutrality in a primary, although that was questionable. There's a 2011 resolution that appeared to have allowed it. I was not one who signed on the petition to get this before the Central Committee, nor was I a big advocate of it. But all that changed when Colorado Supreme Court said we couldn't even vote for Trump.
Right.
No voting for Trump. No, we have to save our democracy by denying you the right to vote.
For the candidate of your choice.
A candidate of your choice. You can vote for their candidate of your choice, but...
Yeah, you can vote for Krista Kafer's candidate. I'm going to go with Nikki Haley for Krista Kafer.
So I proposed a resolution that I submitted to Dave. He declined to use it, which is okay. I think it would have gotten us more votes at the end, and he acknowledges that, but we had to get it done what was important. Important thing was support Trump. 65-35, and that roughly reflects the state's Republican Party. I mean, we're a pretty rhino.
Well, but I think the good news is there's 65% were for Trump, right? And I think it does represent it. I think it represents a shift. I think that a couple of Colorado Republican Party leaders ago, it wouldn't have even been allowed, right?
No, it would not have been allowed.
And I think you hit on a couple of really good points, because this resolution has been kind of, you know, in the rumblings and on chat groups and Facebook page for a while now. And it started, like you said, before the Colorado Supreme Court took Trump off the ballot. And I think at that point, people became outraged and said, and I'm just going to say thank you.
And it would be only if the Supreme Court does not overrule the Colorado. This is your only chance to show whether you're for Trump or against Trump.
Right.
And because you won't get another chance either in the general or in the primary.
Dave is working on Dave's a caucus.
But they'll stop him. It'll be a long...
Don't bang on the table. Yeah, exactly. There's an earthquake here.
Anita Khrushchev.
I think that's important. And I also think that typical, sometimes certain establishment Republicans want to argue about the bylaws. And I'm just going to say, stop it. You know what I mean? Just stop it. It's like, do you think when the Democrats, when Mark Elias and the Law for People are like, okay, we're going to file all these lawsuits and get Trump off the ballot for no reason. We're going to lie about January 6th. We're going to lie in the FISA court. Do you think anyone in any of those organizations said, you know, our bylaws don't allow that.
No,
I mean, can you see the Democrats saying, Oh, I'm sorry. I know we hate Trump, but our bylaws say we can't do that. No, you know? So Republicans got to knock that nonsense off. It's like we have to be, I mean, the country is at stake here, right? I mean, we can't be the party that watches the country go down the tube and say, well, at least we followed the bylaws. Yeah. I mean,
well, there's about 30%. I would say maybe a little less than that are just full on rhinos. You have two rhino counties that are normal Republican areas, and one is Mesa County. They're just full rhino. They're terrible.
Yeah.
Mesa County.
Fortina
Peters, Dan Rubenstein, all those people. And the other ones, well, the Women of Weld, Barbara Kirkmeyer.
Rhino Central.
Now, there are a couple that are in the metro area, Denver, although they voted generally for it, Arapahoe County, which is Susan Steyerwald, whoever.
Suzanne Steyer,
whoever his successes are. Those are full rhino. Now, not all the people are rhino. I mean, Rappos,
not all the members of the central committee.
Yeah, not all the members. And Mason, Weld, you know, they're full Democrats. And in Rappo, Jefferson has been taken over by the Trumpsters, although the chair has become waffled. But
I think it is important. And I know, like, you know, that some of the usual Anschutz World media outlets are saying, oh, we're, you know, the Colorado Republicans. I mean, Dick Wadhams is freaking out, right? Go figure. And saying they're violating their neutrality. Okay, let's just look at the reality. I imagine that Dave would not have done this if there were several candidates, all of whom were polling roughly equal. Right. But you've got Trump.
Well, once again, you have to understand what this does. Nothing. It just shows a sentiment. It's an endorsement like anybody else's endorsement. Come the primary, you can vote any way you want. I mean,
right.
You probably, hopefully you'll get to vote for Trump or not. But anyway, this doesn't make any difference. I think the people who have guaranteed to come to Colorado for that, or at least be on the ballot, are Trump, Ramaswamy, Nikki Haley,
DeSantis.
And
I mean, all that could change, of course, after the Iowa caucuses. But,
well,
but
I think they paid the money, though.
You know, they were quoting, and I absolutely agree with this, both Vera Ortegon, who is the RNC committee woman, who is pretty establishment, uh-huh. And Randy Corcoran, who is
grassroots.
But he's the RNC committee man. And both of them said, Randy pointed out, and I agree with this, he's like, we need to, the Republican Party and the RNC is trying to undermine Trump, I think, every step of the way,
absolutely.
Right? Ronna McDaniel and company. But they need to knock it off. Trump is by far the leading candidate. He is by far, I think, going to be the candidate. And all of this time and energy and effort allows the Democrats to kind of, as Dick Wadhams does, portrays the party as being in disarray. The party's not in disarray. The party is firmly united against Trump, or for Trump, rather.
Well, but here's the good part about it. I have nothing against primaries, and I don't like how the Democrats try to ensure that nobody else runs. You get, by and large, Republican message going out all the time. Now, it's not the same, and there's some of the neocon, here's the war, Ukraine, we love you stuff. But by and large, the message, because Democrats is none. The only message they get out is Joe Biden, and that's a poor message carrier.
Right, but I think all, like 75% of the people think that he's not mentally capable of doing the job.
Well, who does think he's mentally capable
so
of the job?
We'll get to this later. He can work for the FAA, though. He'll be able to work. He's going to be a diversity and equity hire for the FAA. He's going to be flying your plane.
Be a cognitive disability. That's Joe.
And that's Joe.
And he's first in line.
He's going to be.
And they shouldn't have any ageism either.
No.
I mean, he's a young 81, or at least he's 81.
He'd be great in the plane. This is from Sandra. I think the people that don't like Trump have something or things to hide. I want to know what that is so we can get rid of him. Well, I think it's money, Sandra. The people who don't like Trump are the people who are making money out of the current system. Like your Mitch McConnell's, right?
Right.
He's making as much money as Nancy Pelosi, and they all.
Nancy Pelosi makes a lot.
Yeah, and they're all at the trough, and Trump disrupts all of that, right?
Right.
The folks who are meeting, the Davos folks are meeting World Economic Forum this week. They don't like Trump.
That's the Zelensky there.
Yeah, Zelensky.
Back the war.
So
they love the war.
Exactly. I mean, they don't like him because he upsets, again, their ability to make money. The Koch brothers don't like Trump.
There is only one, but.
Right, okay. But the other one was there, they didn't like him. But these people are all making money. Comes down down to money has nothing to do with philosophy. So I think it's great that the Republican Party did this. And even Vera said, yeah, basically Trump is going to be the candidate. We like Trump. We need Trump back in the White House. Why would we not want to show our support as a party as opposed to saying, well, the bylaws say. Now, Dave says we'll remain neutral in all the other primaries where there is a battle.
And we won't spend any money for Trump. It's just a way of our kind of giving the finger to the Colorado Supreme Court saying, no,
right.
We have a democracy. You're anti-democratic. You're all Democratic appointed people. And no, we're not going to just lie.
And say, oh, well, I guess the Supreme Court said we can't vote.
Well, there you go.
Ivy
League educated lawyers showed us.
I guess we'll vote for Biden then. We might as well.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, no, and I think it's great. Now, here's the question. Will it bring, okay, so let me back up. If you're Donald Trump, I mean, we already had on the show, Dave told us, Trump called him, right? And said, thank you, Dave. You're doing a great job.
He not only called him, but he didn't have, some flunky, the president is waiting right on the line for you. Just go, oh, this is Donald Trump. You'd be like, is this a pimp?
Yeah. But to thank Dave for getting Colorado, the Republican Party, filing the lawsuit and, to keep Trump on the ballot and then appealing to the Supreme Court. So hopefully Trump will come here, do you think, during the campaign?
I don't know, but I think there's a better chance now. I think Dave has a little more in his quiver to be able to, hey, come on in. I mean,
right. I would hope, because one of the reasons, and I think one of the listeners mentioned this, if Trump does come here, it's going to be a massive crowd like he always has. Okay. And that will shut up, at least for the day, all of the establishment rhinos who say nobody in Colorado likes Trump. I mean,
Dick Wadhams is always saying everybody hates Trump.
Again, he said Donald Trump lost to Joe Biden by 14 points.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but that I get that there's a Democrat majority in the unaffiliated lean Democrat, and we won't even go into the whole election rigging thing. But
Dick is never the brightest guy. He said 800,000 people moved into Colorado, and that changed Colorado. No, Dickie Do. They came up with all mail balloting and ballot harvesting. The 800,000 were a lot of refugees from other places that hate California. But you don't know how to run an election anymore. You're a dinosaur.
So, and this is also from Sandra. True. How can politicians be millionaires? Good point. I think with some of them, it's more than money. Look at the sex with the staffer in the White House. Truly think there is more than just.
There's sex. Let's go sex.
Well, and we'll talk more about that and some of the bills, Sandra, that are coming up in the Colorado legislature. It is disturbing. And I think you're right. There's a reason that none of the Epstein people, if they were Donald Trump, were really actually on the Jeffrey Epstein thing, that would have come out. Right. There's a reason somebody was abusing those girls. Right. I mean,
abusing those wonderful women, wonderful, innocent girls.
But I mean, still, it was illegal. And it's, as we said before, Ghislaine Maxwell is in prison, but none of the men are in prison. And I'm going to bet.
First campaign ever worked.
I'm going to bet that there are a ton of, we talked about this last week when Politico had the thing. Why are the right conspiracy theorists obsessed with sex rings? And then somebody said, translation, that means that there is a lot more of that going on than we know, and important Democrats are involved.
All right, we got Jacob raising his hand. Come on, Jacob.
Hey, Jacob.
Good Monday. Two things. One, I just realized that one Koch brother is composing all these rules and regulations for the Republican Party, and the other brother is decomposing.
Jacob, you're going to get you a.
Okay. Second thing, did I hear correctly that the governor of Colorado wants to cut the income tax, state income tax rate
for himself?
He's
always wanted to cut tax rates for himself. He's always saying, I tell you what, I'll cut it by 0.01% for everybody who's got a net worth above $25 million. And at the same time, we'll take away all your Tabor refunds. There you go.
Everybody. What he said in the State of the State speech was, let's go ahead and cut the income tax rate since we can't keep the money anyway.
You know, I don't know. I guess I would doubt anything that Jared Polis says.
He's always said he wants to cut rates. But then again, what he really wants to do is on the back
Shuffle
end,
it around.
cut it for the highest people like himself and take
Philanthropes.
it from everybody else.
Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on that, though, and see.
He's so libertarian.
I know Republicans are
What a
pushing that.
libertarian.
Yeah.
And the third thing, real quickly, was I got my renewal for my auto insurance last week, my home insurance, and my auto insurance went sky high. And I called my I changed companies. I'm not going to say who to and who from, but anyway,
You should.
one
Why
guy
not you?
said to me, he said to me quietly, he goes, "The reason the rates are going up in Colorado is because we're allowing the immigrants to get driver's licenses." But that doesn't necessarily
Another
mean that
bonus.
doesn't necessarily yeah, that doesn't
Another
necessarily mean they're going to
bonus to
get
the
insurance.
insurance companies, though. See,
That's
it's
right.
helping the economy.
Yeah.
It's an
Yes.
enormous help for the
That's a
economy.
good one. I thought I'd tell you. All right, have a great day.
All right, thanks, Jacob.
Okay,
We're
good.
good. We'll look at ours. Ours went up as well. Ours, it always, although
Oh.
everything always goes up. This is from Leo. He's now known as the Coke Bro. There we go. Well, so that's good anyway for Colorado. I think it says a lot of things. One, it does endorse Trump, which is important. Two, it smacks down the silly bylaws we have to, we have
I
to.
think they're silly,
Well, no,
but
but the silliness of going down with the ship,
you're
but
right.
saying we're sinking here, but by God, we're following the bylaws. Well, the Democrats,
Brilliant.
slaughter us. Hopefully it'll bring Trump here.
Yeah.
And I think it also, as I said, shows the 65-35 is an important statistic. I mean, that shows a significant,
Almost 2/3 are
yeah,
grassroots.
exactly. So let's talk a little bit about Iowa. The mainstream media, you notice, is now saying if Trump doesn't win by 140%, it's a loss.
Nikki Haley landslide.
Yeah, and I mean they move the goalposts, right? So Trump is pulling ahead. I've been reading things. This is what's encouraging to me, saying that Trump is not taking anything for granted, right?
No, he's not. He said, "I don't care how sick you are. I don't care if you're in a death, but get over to the caucus. If you vote for me and die, well, you've died for a good cause. I like that. I
Well,
like that."
I mean, he's saying he's got a ground team out there. Trump totally understands what they can do, number one, to ballot counting. Number two, don't trust the polls. I think if you're Trump right now, you don't trust anything.
Well, Cruz
And so,
stole it last time, I think.
I don't
I'm
remember.
pretty sure he
But
will.
anyway, I think so. The Trump people are there in force, which is good because to me that says the Trump people totally understand that ground game is important, and you got to be there keeping an eye. I mean, Harmeet Dillon was tweeting they had legal teams there too,
The same
right?
ones that are in
Well,
Arizona.
yeah, hopefully better ones. Well, at
Well,
least they're there. I think the one
they were
difference on
there in
I
Arizona,
know.
just sitting there on their video.
I
Okay,
think
that
they
was
came in
illegal.
afterwards.
We'll go to court.
But it's interesting that the corporate media keeps pushing Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley, the Nick-tredictor.
Right. And she, I mean, and that's like she could be Trump's vice president. I don't think so. But it was interesting. A big donor, Andy Sabin, was on Neil Cavuto, and he said the quiet part out
Allowed.
loud, which is funny. So, Thomas, if we could play the Nikki supporter soundbite.
So the money train is still flowing and going. Are you worried, though?
Thank you, Neil, for having me, and Happy New Year. I
You as
didn't,
well.
we actually have a large fundraiser on the 30th of January at a major apartment in New York City where we're raising a tremendous amount of money. Believe it or not, a number of it coming from Democrats.
Like, note to Andy Sabin, it's not actually a good idea to say that a lot of Nikki Haley's money is coming from Democrats.
Won't be supporting her should you get the
Should she get the
nomination.
nomination? No, I mean, granted, if you're her, take the money and run. But I think it's her supporters coming obviously from coastal elites, right? A big unnamed thing. Normally, the way those kind of fundraisers work is you have to give the money up front before you can even go.
Pledge
Although I don't,
away.
at least pledge it, right? So I think she's got the money there. But again, it's coming from Democrats. So if you're a Republican and somebody tells you, well, the Democrats are funding Nikki
They
Haley.
love her.
Because I mean, that's just a. It's also a meddling.
New York Democrats love North
Yeah,
Carolina Nikki Haley.
that's
Oh,
right. And they're giving her a ton of money.
yeah. Because they believe in the Ukraine war also.
That's right. And whatever. Well, we've got the war. The Houthis shot down a cargo ship today, too. So
did they shoot it down or they just hit it?
They hit it. I guess it was a
cargo ship.
The Houthis
still haven't killed anybody, but that doesn't matter. We finished a few of them off.
Our airstrikes, so they're still shooting at cargo ships.
Yeah, but how dare they? How dare they?
Your thought on, I think, anything can happen, as we know, in elections, fair or unfair. I think Trump is probably going to walk away. And obviously, this will all be moot here in a couple of days. Although, when do we know?
Iowa took six or seven days in the Democratic one to figure it out. I'm not sure. I'm sure the Republicans will try to do it a little better than that.
Right. Well, yeah, there's a lot riding on it. I think DeSantis, is he done if he finishes?
No! Off to New Hampshire.
That's right.
Off to New Hampshire.
Where they're also telling people to vote for Nikki Haley.
Everybody. She's from South Carolina. They love her. All the things, great things she did, like give away everything to the Chinese while she was the governor. They love that.
They love the Chinese. And then this from Sandra. Absolutely agree, Julie. She's also probably being backed by China. Yeah, don't forget, a South Carolina governor. She invited businesses from China to open businesses there.
Yep.
From Leo, Chris Sununu was on Fox today supporting Haley. There's a great endorsement. And from Jim, question, is there a good place to look to try to understand where all the money comes from? I thought there were limits. Well, Jim, that's why you have that's why you have secret PACs, right? There are limits to much
to the candidate herself, but she'll have a independent expenditure committee where unlimited funds can be gone.
And dark money. So normally
normally
I would say you could go to Tracr. For local candidates, it's just tracr.com. If you just Google Tracr, election campaign money kind of thing, it'll come up. And you just search the candidate or search the group. But even in Colorado, you'll look, say, for whatever, right? Nikki Haley, right? And what comes up is, well, maybe not Nikki Haley, but a local candidate. And it'll say Coloradans who love America. Well, and then you click on that and you have no idea who Coloradans who love America are, right? And they're probably communists or something, right? The name of the group has nothing to do with the group actually does. So it is almost impossible to track.
Well, here's what I think about the Iowa deal. Now, one of my favorite pollsters, my favorite pollster is Ann Seltzer. She was originally from Iowa, did the register call poll, and now she's gone national. But she is by far the best year after year after year after year after year. And so she said, hey, looking at this, said the poll show Nikki Haley really starting to rise. She says, I really question that. He said, last time Trump was way ahead in the polls, but the Cruz people were much more enthusiastic. And you have to be enthusiastic
to get people out in the winter.
It's cold. And she said, when if you look underneath those things, how many people are enthusiastic about Nikki Haley? Oh. And it was, you know, either mildly or not at all.
Right.
And so I don't think she'll do well. I think Ron DeSantis may beat her.
I think so.
How Trump will do, somewhere in the mid-40s. High 40s, and they'll say it's a loss.
Yeah,
Nikki Haley won in third place.
I was reading a thing that said some of the people polled, and again, polls are what they are, but said if they didn't vote for Nikki Haley, they would vote for Joe Biden. So
yes,
that too tells you that. That's why all the Democrats are.
This is incredible. I'm the litigation committee for the vice chair, the litigation committee of the Republican Party, and one of the people. I'm the chairman
of the party.
This is for the litigation. One of the guys' sister-in-law is Ann Seltzer. I go, whoa, are you cool or what?
Could you get any insights on the polls?
Total, but I can't share them.
You can't share them. So anyway, I think it's going to be, hopefully they'll have the results out quick with Iowa. My guess is Trump will do well. I think you could be right. I think Ron DeSantis could do better than Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley.
And that would just freak out
Nikki
New York
Haley world.
Democratic donors.
Yeah. Right, right.
What do you mean, that disgusting Florida governor?
And Vivek Ramaswamy, although Ramaswamy was noting unfairly, some of the networks had things where they were asking people questions, the polls and stuff, and they didn't have his name on it. So it's that'll hurt your reporting things. He and Trump seemed to have gotten into a bit of a
Tussle.
But I think Trump is smart on this. It's like, hey, you know, don't be fooled by Vivek Ramaswamy. Don't think, okay, Trump is so great, I don't want Nikki Haley to win, so I'm going to go out there and vote for Vivek, right? I think that, I think, was Trump's message, right? It's like, Vivek Ramaswamy is not me. He's not me.
Well, he's done a great, Vivek Ramaswamy has the greatest job of selling the Trump message to the hostile media. I mean, he just kills them, right. Which doesn't mean he's not a little tricky, but
right.
At least he's better than Nikki Haley.
That's right. And this from Sandra. I hope both Ron DeSantis and Vivek Ramaswamy beat her. I do too. You know, there's something about her. She's kind of Kamala Harris-like in that there's something just kind of also just unlikable about her.
Yes.
You know, she does.
In a very nice way. There's something unbelievable.
Right.
She says, you know, I have to be in different people in different states. And you're sure she does. And that yeah. accent comes out when she's in South Carolina, New
like
Hampshire. She's got that skeet.
Later
on, that's great.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So anyway, so we'll obviously on Wednesday be talking a lot more about that. Wanted to talk though some more. This was has news coming out today. There's been a lot lately. Anytime you go to news sites like the Daily Mail or places like that that are kind of gossipy, some of the always daily, there are stories about people freaking out on airlines, right? Mm-hmm. Flying anymore has become a weird experience, I think. And the lines are long and they had, you know, weather delays, et cetera, et cetera. But you'll be glad to know that the FAA on its website, and you said this has actually been there for a while, right?
Oh, I was kidding.
Oh, okay. No, so the FAA has new...
In spirit.
In but spirit. And we had a door fall off of a window that they replaced, a window with a door or something in Alaska Airlines that... You know, the door flew off and, you know, mid-flight. So that's always bad when that happens on the plane. And you have people like, there was one, some guy is like rushing the cockpit because they were sitting on the tarmac for 17 minutes. And he's like, take off. But at any rate, so the FAA is now actively recruiting workers with, get this, this is a quote, I'm not making this up, severe intellectual disabilities and psychiatric problems and other mental and physical conditions under their diversity and equity hiring procedures.
And that's always been a case for federal workers. I mean, you know, the severe cognitive disability is always good on an application.
Oh yeah, I mean, so what you want is you're going to have a retarded suicidal person,
yeah.
You know, flying your plane. What could go wrong with that? We've got, this is a funny soundbite, Steve Gruber with Real American Voice kind of talk. I mean, you could see he's just like, what? If we could please play the FAA soundbite, Thomas.
Do you want a nutball flying your jet? Do you want to make sure that we have DEI checked off nicely on the list before you get on your plane? Do you want to make sure that the person flying your plane was a diversity hire? Or do you want the best pilot? Come on. You want a diversity hire or do you want the best person? Really? Because that's remarkable. The Federal Aviation Administration actively recruiting workers who suffer severe intellectual disabilities. Are they saying we're hiring dumb people? Well, what's a severe intellectual disability? Think about it. Psychiatric problems, other mental and physical conditions under a diversity and inclusion hiring initiative spelled out on the agency's website. Targeted disabilities are those disabilities that the federal government, as a matter of policy, has identified for special emphasis in recruitment and hiring. They include hearing, vision, missing extremities, partial paralysis, complete paralysis, epilepsy, severe intellectual disability, psychiatric disability, dwarfism. I don't care about that, you know, but severe intellectual disability. These are the folks who were giving the ability to work at the Federal Aviation Administration. Do you want your air traffic controller to have a severe intellectual disability when the pilot's calling for help? I'm not really wanting that, no.
Oh, but that would be helpful. Did you see, this was again in the Daily Mail, there was, this was a big thing. So some pilot was, there were some questions and issues coming up at the landing. So the air traffic controller said she Googled it and she was telling him what to do. And the pilot's like, no, that's not what you're doing. She goes, I Googled this. I mean, literally she said, I Googled it. So number one, you've got your air traffic controller. Shouldn't she on her screen be paying attention to the planes and things like that? Instead, she's like, Googling Siri, find out about, I mean, give me a break.
This whole Boeing thing is not really an accident, as one article pointed out. Back, more than a decade ago, Boeing acquired McDonnell Douglas. But it was one of those things where really McDonnell Douglas's corporate culture took over from Boeing. Boeing was just super engineering. Everything was engineered to the finest T, all engineers in charge of things. McDonnell Douglas guys were profit guys. So they said, no, we're going to run this like a business. We're not going to have these stupid engineers. So one of the things that happened, all the faulty, there was a faulty system that had one sensor that didn't work. Did it have a backup sensor? No, because that'll cost too much money. How often does this sensor break? Not very often. And if it does, well, okay.
We have insurance.
Yeah, we have insurance. And hopefully the people on the plane have insurance. So it all worked out. So, you know, the Maxi, they have a new, which is a replacement for the 737, is falling apart all the time. It's always...
Well, they grounded them, I think, haven't they?
Yeah, they grounded them. And Boeing found out that it was easier to subcontract everything and just do the assembly themselves. And of course, the subcontractors depend on other subcontractors. And all the way down.
China.
Who depend on China. And so, you know, what they make isn't too good. In addition, it hasn't helped their bottom line either. So they've managed to blow both. But thank God Boeing does have its own very strong, recently adopted DEA standards.
DEI
standards. So you know, you're going to get a lot of great people there at Boeing and at the FAA, and of course, United Airlines.
FAA, Future Farmers of America.
I have a cognitive disability. Leave me alone. I'm hireable by the FAA.
Chuck is going to get a job. Well, so I mean, and there are certain disabilities. I just think a blind person who's totally paralyzed would not make a great pilot.
But would be a very good air traffic controller.
Air traffic controller, baggage handle. I guess those are private contractors. But yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And what is a severe intellectual disability?
It's called being retarded.
Well, or it could
intellectually
be
challenged.
Yeah. Well, that's not even, this is above and beyond challenge. This is disabled. How are you intellectually I mean, is that dead? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think death could be a severe.
They should really rewrite that. There should be challenge. Not disability.
Yeah, that's right. And somebody with psychiatric problems. Again, I'm sorry, depending on the nature. Now, if somebody's slightly depressed because they, you know, I don't know, broke up with their boyfriend, okay, that's one thing. But if somebody is full-blown psychotic or sociopathic who thinks it might be fun to kill a whole plane load of people,
or who
is extremely suicidal, again, these are not people.
You want to hire.
You want
those
to fly a plane.
People are not hired generally in America, and it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy.
But we get some comments here. Oh, Charlene is like, I'm listening to classical music to calm me down while listening to us. That's true. Well, I mean, again, you know, diversity and equity is one thing, but I
what do you mean diversity and equity is one thing?
It's
one thing, but
to go through this whole list
that's
of people,
what diversity and equity is.
But to go
that's DEI.
All right,
they spelled it out for you. Intellectually challenged people.
That's right. I have severe intellectual disability.
Jesus Christ. What do I have to do to you people?
Let me finish. I thought before that it just meant, you know, transgender people and people of color.
What made you think
blah, blah,
that?
Blah. I know. Now it turns out that we have diversity and equity includes people with severe intellectual disabilities,
of course.
Psychiatric problems,
of course.
Complete paralysis.
Well, you don't.
And dwarfism. It's like, what?
Well,
and
dwarfism.
I mean, it's like,
you
I'm
should
five
hire
four.
Those guys. I like mean, it. Well, yeah, you're almost a dwarf.
Well, mine, they could fly the plane at least. I mean, again, I guess if,
get up in the cockpit.
If they had severe intellectual and psychiatric problems. But they, you know, the airline industry, I remember years ago, and there was a case where it was flying to Aloha Air, flying to Hawaii, and like the top of the plane came off. That was bad.
So they
landed, and actually, I think it was miraculous. I mean, for the most part, I don't even, was that it? It was very, very few.
Not too many.
But in doing the story and all the lawsuits came out, one of the things that one of the plaintiff's lawyers was explaining is, back to what you said, is that the airlines, it's a cost analysis benefit. Kind of
cost
situation.
Benefit.
Right.
Cost,
and the airlines do have insurance, and that literally that is something they figure, mm-hmm. right? It's like, okay, well, it would cost us this much, but if the plane crashes and everyone died, like our insurance would, I mean, like literally that is something that gets factored into it. So I'm sure they're like, well, we sure don't want to be sued by somebody with severe intellectual disabilities. Now let's also think, what is this going to do to the work environment? Let's say that you're a stewardess, right? Or flight attendant, sorry. A flight attendant.
Course.
No, and then you're
war flight attendant.
You're just
that would be fun.
And you're regular, you know, you're just a normal person out there trying to do your job, earn a living, right? And so you get a pilot with severe intellectual disabilities and psychiatric problems. I mean, what does that do to the announcement? Do you know what I mean? It's like, we'd like to warn you. Well, no, don't let him talk. You won't be hearing from our pilot because he's got severe psychiatric problems. Well, that's even. Or conversely, you're the pilot and you have a crew full of flight attendants who have severe psychiatric problems. I mean, I don't mean to laugh, but I mean, I've been on flights where I think that that actually has been the case.
Well, it's clearly been hard. Those people for quite some period
exactly.
of time. This is nothing new. They've just put it down in writing
yes.
this time.
And now we're going to have complete. What do you do with a completely paralyzed flight attendant? I mean, how do you get.
Make reasonable accommodations, Julie.
It's like.
You make reasonable accommodations.
They're charging everything anyway. Let's see. Oh, yeah, from Thomas. I can't wait for the schizophrenia pilot to be. What about a bipolar pilot, right?
It's well, like we're on a high.
No, we're not. We're landing. No, we're not. We're circling. From Charlene, yes, I'm serious, and don't call me Shirley. From Sandra, look who Biden hired as a government employee over nuclear waste. Exactly. Samuel.
Look who they hired to head the FAA. Pete. Butt boy Buttigieg.
That's right. Samuel Britton, who stole luggage. Good Lord, this administration is nuts. From Charlene, the feds are breaking markets, the housing markets, and now the airline industry. Well, again, you know, they want us all to stay home in our high density, no grass, enclosed little community.
Well, you can't
right?
you can't where- say the feds aren't there. Federal workers aren't coming in. They're not leaving the house these days. 50% stay home all the day while working hard. For you.
Right. I mean, they want to shut us all down. I mean, you got to wonder.
Well, they're shutting themselves down.
Well, because then they'll take over. We'll need them to take over.
But well, they won't be able to move because they're paralyzed, but it's okay.
But I want to point something out, though. So
okay.
There was this, Chuck found this, a soundbite with Scott Kirby, who is the relatively new CEO of United Airlines. He is also a drag queen in his spare time. If you can go,
yes.
lives a ticket.
Many, many, many CEOs. Are drag queens.
But I mean,
most of, in fact, I would say a vast majority of CEOs these days are drag queens.
Well, it's helpful. It looks better on your resume if you put drag
queen. He also can be a flight attendant.
Drag queen with severe intellectual disability and a psychiatric problem.
There you go. That's him. That's
well,
Scott.
You move to the top. But it's interesting because you don't actually move to the top. I'm going to play.
Listen.
Claudine
Gay.
Okay, no, but in the airline industry, listen to this.
Well, I know, but Claudine Gay.
Yes, she did. But I want to point out when you listen to this soundbite, because the person doing the interview kind of nails him on how many people with severe intellectual disabilities and psychiatric problems are actually on in the C-suite, which is the corporate suites of United Airlines. If we could please play the United CEO soundbite.
We have committed that 50% of the class of the classes will be women or people of color. Today, only 19% of our pilots at United Airlines are women or people of color. And by the way, from all the data I've seen, that's the highest of any airline in the country.
White males don't just dominate in the cockpits, also in the C-suite at United Airlines.
Well, look, at United, I'm proud of the diversity that we actually have in our C-suite. I think if you look around corporate America.
Correct me if I'm saying, though, this is just based off your website, the people you list as executives, but out of 11 people, 3 are women. I believe 1 is a person of color.
That's correct. But, you know, in corporate America, I think, you know.
That's a low bar. How do you raise your own bar?
Well, a lot of this is, you know, focusing on it. We have programs to, one of the things we do is for every job when we do an interview, we require women and people of color to be involved in the interview process, bringing people in early in their careers as well, and giving them those opportunities and creating a stronger bench.
So notice with that, to me,
I hate this freeze frame. We're all saying freezes. And I got my eyes closed walking it up.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the editor problem. But if you notice in that soundbite, what's interesting is, so 50% of the pilots are going to be diversity hires, but in the actual corporate suites, it's all a bunch of white guys who know how to make money.
Oh, well.
You don't want to interfere with our money-making ability. There are no severe intellectual disability people. Well, maybe. But I mean, these are people who know how to make money. So they're willing to risk our lives, but when it comes to risking their stock option or their bottom line, you know, there's just,
well, you
just
might
go to those trustworthy white guys.
You might think joining a company like that, you know, where 50% of the people are diversity hires, and you go, well, I only have to compete against the other 50%. But rest assured, it's just not hiring, it's promotion. All of a sudden you go in and they say, okay, Chuck, you've done a great job and you're working your ass off and you've made us a lot of money and all that. But Bob over here is not only a dwarf, but he's a transgender and he's intellectually challenged. And we'll be accused of just hiring but not promoting people over jerks like you. So thanks for coming in and interviewing, but keep the hard work up.
But I do think, no, you're right there, but I also think...
And that's where Claudine Gay comes in. I mean, oh, so the hire is a thing, and she's the head of arts and faculty, and then off to the presidency.
But then you go to a company like United, which is a for-profit company.
And, not really.
And they're like, well, okay, I disagree. I just think it's interesting that he's willing to say, oh, yeah, for the pilots flying our airplanes, the main thing we consider anymore is diversity and equity. But for the guys who are helping us actually make the money that affects me, again, we're going to our steady, reliable white guys who know how to make money.
Wrong.
Well,
because
well,
I know, but the board members are not the guys who make you money. The board guys that sit around getting stock options. For the board, you know, they'll soon have that guy. The next board member will be a dwarf. A drag queen dwarf.
Well, and from Jim, not a single mention of ability, experience, or accomplishment.
No, absolutely not, you bigot.
And that it's going to probably change. I think at a certain point, lawsuits would change that.
No,
I don't know.
You got to be kidding me.
You don't think so when planes crash and things like that?
Well, that happens.
Yeah.
You know, planes go up, planes come down.
Yeah.
DEI continues forever.
The drag force. Oh, that's the drag force. Is that the next generation of the Power Rangers? There you go. That is going to be it. One other thing, too, that's interesting. A lot of stuff going on this week. Jerry Nadler said the quiet part out loud. He was talking about immigration and why the Democrats have completely unlimited illegal immigration. And basically, he kind of wraps slavery and the replacement theory all into
one big good ball.
One big little soundbite. If we could please play the Jerry Nadler soundbite.
And we need immigrants in this country. Forget the fact that the farm, that our vegetables would rot in the ground if they weren't being picked by many illegal immigrants. The fact is that the birth rate in this country is way below replacement level, which means our population is going to start shrinking. And the ratio of people on Social Security and Medicare is going to increase relative to the number of people supporting them.
So basically he's saying, that, okay, we need illegal immigrants to pick our vegetables, right?
And pay for Social Security.
And then replace us.
Yes, you know?
It's like, we're not replacing
ourselves.
We're not
procreating.
Right.
You know, none of that procreation crap out there.
No. So we need the illegal immigrants. This is from Charlene. I went to T-Mobile to get technical help. There were three females with six in nails and had to beg for the IT guys in the back to help me. I never noticed before he has elf ears. Creepy. Yeah, he does have elf ears. But
Elf ears.
Yeah, kind of. Like Spock, sort of.
Yeah.
Or the guy in the Lord of the Rings, or the elf in the Lord of the Rings.
Well,
but it is interesting, though, that because they attack Tucker Carlson, they attack everybody else who say, oh, it's about replacement theory, right? And then
racist.
He just flat out said it's replacement theory there.
Right.
You know, and that kind of leads me to something else. This is sort of an aside.
Okay.
Alex Berenson has been writing a lot about the fertility rates, right? The number of people. And he said it's really bad in places like China, where they are not having enough children to replace them. Europe is the same way. The United States, not quite as bad. But there is something, and he says, and I would agree, you know, I don't know what it is, but for some Well, we've talked a little bit about it. I guess, you know, they don't make having children seem like it's very fun, but people do not want to have children nearly as much,
would
obviously.
You? I mean, that ad I keep on whining about, you know, here's the mom.
T-Mobile ad.
The mom
Verizon.
And the teenage daughter and even a little bit younger son come home. And the idiot dad is like, this, and they're all going, oh, God, you're a moron. And you kind of go, that is an ad where the young man's going, that's where I want to be. I want to be the head of my own household so I can be mocked and made fun of by my wife and two illegitimate kids.
Well, that could be. I mean, they make it not attractive. And then, but the countries that are expanding in population, again, are the people who are coming here illegally in the Middle East, in Africa, in Central America, right? So, but I just thought that was a funny soundbite where he says, well, we need them. Never mind the fact that the vast majority of them coming in, or maybe I shouldn't say the vast majority, a significant percentage are just cartel drug dealers. Right. Never mind.
Well, I wouldn't mind them. They're ambitious people who work hard. It's the ones that come in just to get on the dole. I mean, cartel people, I mean, if they pay their fair taxes and the government could take over it like it's taken over every other illegal enterprise.
Well, here's the thing where he talks about they'll pay Social Security. But yeah, again,
we're not big into that.
They're not working. Right. I mean,
they could take child credit. Then, you know, the child credit thing.
So, yeah. So who's going to be actually paying into Social Security, right?
Well,
so,
all these white old people can just die as far as we're concerned.
That's right. Then they're going to start the duty to die.
Barry Nadler, I mean, he's going to say, you know, you people dead.
And then let's see from Jim.
Useless mouths, as Mao said.
That's right. The eco quacks want to reduce the population except for them. That's exactly right. And Charlene, machines are picking crops these days. Amazing to watch videos of them replacing migrant labor. Maybe the influx of immigrants is just to destabilize. Oh, I think it's all of the above, Charlene. I think they want to destabilize. They want the crime. They want voter. Well, I mean, you know, every single one of those persons is going to have a ballot sent to some central location with their name on it, you know, and someone will fill it out.
That's an interesting speech they had on by Obama, and I'm not sure how long ago it was, but he was saying vis-a-vis climate change, and he's standing up in his very articulate, wonderful way and saying, you know, there's no faster growing population than in Africa. And in Africa, those people will soon want to have big houses, they'll want to have cars, they won't have air conditioning. And what will that do to the power grid? And Scott said, well, no, wait a minute. The people in Africa can't have any of those things.
No.
But Obama, who just bought his third big house over in Maui with a seawall, which are illegal, but he got exempted because it corrodes the beaches and stuff. You know, those rules are not for us. I mean, those stupid Africans want a big house. How dare they? And a car?
That will disrupt.
They'll want a jet next.
Not really. Not with a psychiatric problem, intellectual.
Well, they're probably intellectually incapable themselves, so it'd be good.
Yeah, they could all do that. Thank goodness for the Second Amendment. Yeah, that from Sandra. You know, and speaking of the machines picking crops, Charlene, I saw on Twitter, and this is cool. Elon Musk does a lot of cool things. They had a robot folding laundry. And the only thing I thought, it was like, and I thought it would take him, you'd have to do the laundry by the time he finished folding the basket. So it's going to be a while before that happens. One other thing I want to talk about today, this is going on, House Bill 241039, okay, going through the Colorado legislature. This is a bill, and the Democrats are serious about this. This is on top of injection sites, which has come up again. They want to force schools to use whatever name the student wants to use, whether it's a kid's legal name or they've changed their name, or it changes, I think, literally on a daily basis, right?
Godzilla.
Yeah. Right. So it's a whole transgender thing, right? And that they want to increase the penalties for school staff members if they misgender a student. Oh. So let's think about this. I mean, we have a 12 going on 13-year-old son, right? If you had a bunch of 12-year-old boys or 13-year-old girls who could, like, every day come in and change their name,
that'd be good.
Right? I mean,
harass the teacher. I'm Charlene.
Right. Well, or whatever, you know, I'm whatever today. And
Bozo,
so the poor teacher, how do you grade that? How do you keep track of that? But even worse than that, what they want to do is set up a task force that do not have
Excellent.
Any parents on it,
no.
right? To develop policies, basically to come up with helping the schools deal with kids who want to transition. And a key portion of this would be to figure out how to help these kids transition and how the schools can legally hide the information from non-supportive parents, right?
Hate those type of parents.
Yeah.
Those non-supportive parents must be put into a camp.
Put into a camp, maybe made to fly planes,
maybe
right?
Transition them involuntarily.
Right. And Charlene, who says you can't legislate morality?
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. They want to pass a law that basically tells
but it's only a task
that helps the schools come up with a policy to hide information about kids from parents.
Now, no, not parents.
Non-supportive parents.
That's the key phrase, and non-supportive parents.
The question is, well, there's so many questions here. How do you know that the parent is non-supportive if you can't talk
well,
to the parent
you
about
can tell.
It?
You can tell.
Because
they would look a little
they're
normal.
Conservative,
and,
yeah.
Kind of dressed well and seem articulate.
And they come and they care about the kids and they show up.
They care about their homework, their assignments, and they care about how the kid is doing. Those are non-supportive parents immediately.
That's right. I'm from Zandra. How do we start our own state? They have killed Denver. Well, this isn't just Denver, Zandra. This would be all over the place.
All statewide,
right? And this would be charter schools. I mean, you know, again, the Democrats are trying to destroy the state. They've got it in control. So,
but we have the gold standard in voting. So,
yeah, exactly. But at least the Colorado GOP voted to endorse Trump.
Yeah, it's something.
Right, that's right. Hey, we're going to on Wednesday have James Herson on. He's a national columnist. He has a really interesting column up, kind of talking about this the changing in the media and the entertainment industry, where things are kind of. Some facts about just how, you know, like the late night comedy jokes and all of that stuff was like 99.9% anti-conservative, but how it's kind of switching. So we'll have him coming up. I'm going to try to get Robert Spencer to talk about the German farmers.
Wow.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, that's an amazing protest, a total change of Germany, of which our mainstream mirror media is covering
zero.
That's it.
Thank you to everybody on Zoom. Get all the shows, as I always say, at chuckandjulie.com, and we'll see you all on Wednesday.
And we love you, non-supportive parents. Go, non-supportive parents.
There you go.
Thank you. Take care.